Coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, this is Punk Brats, a podcast focused on the lives and experiences of our military brats. We didn't serve, we got served. Now here are your Punk Brats, Rose and Lisa.
Hey, it's Rose.
Hi, it's Lisa. We're the Punk Brats. Hey, Rose.
Hi, Lisa. It's so nice to see you again.
Happy spring. Do you feel all the spring? Do you feel the love in the air, like that spring?
Oh, gosh, I love spring because it leads us to summer, and summer's my favorite season.
Yeah, but this weather we're having is just so nice, and I mean, I'm not going to get so into it because weather's boring, but we have been experiencing some higher winds that I've never
experienced before. Weather.
Yeah, very unpredictable. But yeah, so anyway, what's been happening in your world?
So I want to start off by answering Jacqueline's question. Jacqueline from Texas wants to know from our last episode, she wants to know what policies affected us as military brats negatively. So I had to ponder on this one because I can't really remember anything that affected us negatively. Mm-hmm. I would probably use the phrase challenging. What do you think?
I would say, yeah, because you and I were trying to think about this when we heard the question, and I think challenging would be more, you know, like, for example, us growing up overseas as military brats on military bases and all, if we made a friend who wasn't associated with the military, they couldn't just like come over our house. They couldn't just come over to the base. We couldn't just ask them to come over.
Drop them off.
Yeah.
We had to make arrangements, and it was
an ordeal. Make sure you bring your passport.
Exactly.
So they can sign in.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. I remember that. That was,
I don't think we had too many policies we really had to follow. And if there were policies, we were so crazy and young that we didn't really.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking I am understanding the question, but I mean, like, as far as sometimes, well, we grew up in the height of the Cold War. So we would have terror threat levels.
Always.
Which was part of our daily lives, which would just tell us before we leave the house, oh, you're going to need one ID to get on base, or you're going to need two forms of identification. So then we know to take our military ID card and our passport, you know, like stuff like that, that was just basically a pain in the ass. Oh my gosh.
Big time pain in the ass. And like the Gaddafi crisis during the 80s, going to school.
And that was another thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would, where we had to have soldiers on our school bus carrying M16s. So that kind of, you know, mentally, visually, I guess was, could be frightening, you know, but it was, seeing weapons growing up was not, a big deal for us.
I don't mean to laugh, Rose.
Normal. But,
but here are these poor veterans who were probably young guys assigned to us on the bus, and we didn't care, and we were still assholes.
My gosh, yes. They probably hated us. Can you imagine? We had to stay in character,
blasting our music and throwing, you know, crumbled up papers at each other and just being loud, obnoxious. And
talk about it from their perspective. I mean, I remember thinking, it's like, oh, they've got to be on our bus ride, but thinking about their perspective, they're probably like, these stupid brats. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Well, speaking
why
of brats,
I didn't find this detail.
Right. And he, they, I think there were only like a few of us on there. I mean, it wasn't like there were 50 of us. I think there were like 30 of us on the bus at the time, 30, 35. I can't really remember, but
think about this too. It's not like we had a 20-minute bus ride to school. We had an hour and a half each way. So they had to go an hour and a half escort us to school. Then they had to get an hour and a half back to the base. Then they
had to go an hour and a half. I think it's worse coming home because we have all that energy because we're out of school now.
Oh my God.
In the morning, we're kind of tired still, you know? Sluggish.
Yeah.
But anyway, but speaking of being brats, let's talk. It's April.
So we are in the month of the military brat.
Yay!
Or the military child, to be more specific. And
it's our time to shine.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Our time to shine. And Lisa had sent me this when we were first thinking of, you know, when Punk Brats, the podcast, was still just in its infancy, you know, like planning stages, and we were just talking about it, we learned a lot about military children and all things, I guess, brats doing our research. And we found out that the symbolic flower of the military brat is the dandelion. And so I thought for my Did You Know this month, I would just share a little bit about that. It's the, I guess, unofficial official flower of the military child. And the reason it's the dandelion is because dandelions can put their roots down anywhere. I mean, I'm sure you've seen them growing out of the sides.
Everywhere.
The size of a sidewalk, right? Mm-hmm. They're very resilient and like almost impossible to destroy. And then when the wind blows them, they just bloom everywhere where the winds carry them. It's very symbolic of the military child, you know, being uprooted and moving sometimes, you know, to another state or to another country or to another country overseas. So I just think it's just really a really
it's appropriate. It's the perfect flower to describe us.
Yeah. And, you know, the dandelion is also very resilient. I know it's hard to put like a blanket statement on all military brats and say they're resilient and they're strong, because we're not. I mean, while I was going through it, I had a very difficult time. But given a few months and like just where I was at, I was able to, you know, eventually come out of my shell.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I've loved everywhere that I've lived. And looking back in hindsight, it's easy, you know, to be like, oh, you remember the good times. But there were hard times, too. But, you know, I mean, we just exist and we're strong.
Yes,
we're
all
strong. Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
I'm really excited that we're recognized with a month, you know, and it's actually celebrated on. So we have a month that we have the Military Child Month, and then there's a day that we actually celebrate it, which is April 30th. Mm. So, I wouldn't have my life any other way. And I'm really excited about our guests coming up because, you know, we're interviewing these two sisters, Kayla and Julia Hawes. And Kayla works for an organization called Fallen Patriots. They're a nonprofit organization that assists military children of fallen patriots to go to school. And they're just an awesome organization. So I'm really looking forward to learning more about that organization. But we wanted her to bring her sister on too, Julia, because I mean, they're 2 years apart like you and me. And I just thought it would be fun to get a perspective from military brats who are siblings. So these are our first siblings we've had.
Yeah. And it's only our second episode where we've had two guests on simultaneously, which I thought the last time was so much fun. So,
yeah. Hey, shout out to Kimberly and Brad.
Yeah.
From Brad Legacy Films. So anyway, okay, Rose. Well, one thing that I really want to touch on when we talk with them is the other thing is like you talked about the challenges. We're always talking about how happy military brats are and the happy times and all. And this season, we've kind of taken a turn to really focus on the challenges of being a military brat. You know, our first two seasons, it's all happy. Not that we don't have happy stories, you guys, but we want our audience to see the perspective of a military brat from all angles, the good and the bad.
Exactly.
We're a raw podcast. We are unfiltered and we want to hear what it's like. And it's not always pretty for everybody. So I'm looking forward to learning how they got involved with, I mean, cause obviously, you know, they had a parent who, they had lost. And so making them eligible. And that's how we learned about Kayla and Julia, because they're recipients of the scholarships. And then next, you know, Kayla's working for them. So we're going to learn all about that and them and the organization. So I look forward to that.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you want to bring them out?
Sure.
All right. Let's bring them out. Welcome, Julia and Kayla Hawes. Hi, you guys. I'm Lisa.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
Hey, I'm Rose.
Why are you laughing? Is it the way that you... So you guys, that was Julia and Kayla saying hi, but Julia, hi.
Hi, how are you?
She's so soft-spoken. You're so soft. How are you guys? We have the Hawes sisters talking to the Quintero sisters today. Welcome you guys to the Punk Brats.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, Rose, take it away.
Well, I'm super excited that you're here. This is only the second time that we've had two guests on at the same time. And I find that lots of fun. And this is going to be extra special because y'all are sisters, just like we're sisters. So I think this is going to be exciting. So let's get to know y'all a little bit. Each of you just let us know where you were born, what branch of the military that you are a brat, and take us through your early childhood through high school graduation, college graduation.
Sure. So I'm Kayla. I was born on Fort Benning, Georgia, to my mom and my birth dad. Me and Julia share the same birth dad. They were both active duty in the Army when I was born. They switched to the Guard, and my mom remarried when I was about four to my dad, who was active duty in the Army for 24 years. So heavily an Army brat. I currently reside in Arlington, Virginia. I'm right outside the Pentagon. But I claim West Point, New York as home, even though Texas was kind of our last duty station. So a little bit of everything. I think I've lived in 9 states now.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a lot of states.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Julia?
I'm Julia. I was born in Connecticut, my mom's birth town. Didn't really live there that long, but my mom ended up marrying our dad, and we lived in quite a few places. I can kind of go over that because Kayla didn't. We lived in Michigan, Maryland, Japan, Texas, New York.
Wow.
And Kayla lived in Georgia as well.
Well, you hit 2 states. Texas is where I was born, Fort Hood. So I'm a native Texan. So, and then our father's from New York. So when we were growing up, we would visit New York very often. Our dad's from the city. And, we have that connection with y'all. And the other connection, Rose, did you hear where they said Japan?
Yes.
We'll talk about that later.
I got all excited when I heard Japan.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you guys have moved around a lot. You guys and y'all are Army brats like we are. So, go ahead. So Rose, I know you were about to ask them. Sorry, I didn't.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I just wanted to know what were some of your best and most challenging aspects of growing up in a military family. I'm going to assume it's, we have a lot of shared experiences, but just for our listening audience, if you could just speak on that for a bit.
Yeah. Overall, I would say it was relatively positive. I mean, there are some challenges with growing up with people that are in the military, whether their behavior, moving around a lot, things like that. But I am a social butterfly, and I believe that the reason I am that way is because I had to move around so much and make new friends every 2 years. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I personally loved that. I like getting to go to new places. I liked redecorating my bedroom. I liked day of school. I liked meeting new friends, and I still keep in touch with all of them. So that was the most special part, but also the hardest whenever we would make best friends and then having to leave them 2 years later.
Leave
us before we left. So definitely a blend, but overall, I loved being a military kid. So I'm grateful for everything that brought
awesome.
Me.
Yeah, the goodbyes are always the hardest.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about you, Julia?
I definitely agree. The best and also simultaneously the worst part is the moving. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed moving around, and I'm glad I ended up in Texas. I've been here for about like almost 12 years now, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to stay here for quite a while. I love Texas.
But it's a great state. I mean, look, just the other day, right, y'all, it was I was looking outside in my backyard, and it was nice and sunny. And it was so nice that I even pulled out my camera to take a picture to share with my family. And then like a few drops started dropping, and I'm like, what? Oh, wow. So I go inside and I say to my husband, I'm like, hey, a few drops are dropping. We're like, there's a little raindrops drop, outside right now. And then literally like 2 minutes later, it's hell.
Yep. Sounds like Texas.
Yeah. It was crazy. And, but I just love everything about Texas too.
Yeah. Well, I moved to Texas from Los Angeles, where the weather is just constant, right? There's really no change. So when I moved here, one of the first things people would tell me is like, oh, well, if you don't like the weather, you can just wait 10 minutes. And I was like, what? What are they even talking about? Well, I learned pretty quickly. It's like, yeah, you can experience all 4 seasons in one day.
And speaking of that, I have a question. So how did living overseas shape your perspective on the different cultures and people? and including the storms. Because if y'all remember in Japan living there, those storms were and the earthquakes were a lot different than what you would experience here in, you know, where we live right now. But just how did that shape your perspective on that, on living in different cultures?
So I don't know how much Julie remembers when we were transitioning from Maryland to Japan, but our dad would kind of prep us on the fact that it was going to be different. But I kind of moved, when we moved to Japan, I thought there was no such thing as forks. I thought it was only chopsticks, and dad had got us chopsticks before we moved over there. And I like obsessively taught myself. Of course I got there. That wasn't the case. It was very ignorant of me to think that, but what I really liked, and you guys may have known with going to school there, but we had a culture class on base that taught us kind of the basics of Japanese culture. So we knew how to communicate, how to be respectful, and kind of how each country views each other. And then it was also very important to my dad to teach, at least he taught me, why we were there, like why the American military's presence was so important overseas, especially Japan, and kind of described them as our ally, that we were there to protect them and they were there to back us up, and just kind of gave a unique perspective as to why we were there, and made me very grateful to be there with people that were kind of on our side. But very different, very unique situation.
Wait, how old were you, Kayla, when you were there?
I was 8 years old when I was there, and then we left when I was 11.
Okay, so you were there for sixth grade?
Third through fifth.
Oh, third through fifth. And so, Julie, so both of you guys were in the elementary school only then. You didn't get to go to Zama Middle School.
No.
Okay. I only did Zama Middle School. I always wanted to go to the Zama High School, but I didn't have that chance. But Rose got to do a little bit of middle school and high school, so she was a Trojan and a Spartan.
Oh,
I don't even know if Sagamihara had a mascot for their elementary school.
I can't even remember. I remember like our little school song. I don't remember.
Me too.
Y'all want to sing it for us?
No.
Yeah, I'll sing it.
Oh, please sing it with me, Julia. Come on, Julia. Let's do it. Okay, one, two, three, bird. Go.
In Sagamihara on the Kanto plain, the land of cherry blossoms and the soft gray rain is the place where learning is the rule. John O. Arne Elementary School.
Oh my God. Oh,
that's all I remember.
Awesome. I love that.
I sing
that.
It like every so often.
You know what?
It doesn't leave my brain.
Rose and I are going to call our baby sister when we hang out with you guys and have her see if she remembers that song.
Yes, ask her.
I doubt she remembers it.
That now I realize great. I didn't remember the whole song, just the end part.
Just the end part. Oh my gosh, that was awesome.
That was really, really cool. I think you're our first guest who sang anything on her show.
Well, I've tried, I think, once, but I was screaming, doing something heavy metal or something. I don't remember. But so after y'all left Japan, where did you guys go?
We went to West Point, New York.
Wow, that's a big change.
A huge change. But wow. We loved it there.
So did your father, he worked at West Point, or did he graduate from West Point? Did he go to school?
No, he actually went to Norwich University, which was, we joke, the school that you pay to get hazed in, because it's not a free ride like the academies. He was a Norwich grad, and so is my grandpa, which is why he went there. But no, he was the provost marshal for the base. So he was the head of emergency services. So like police, EMTs, and firefighting.
But how exciting
to your police.
That you guys were exposed to that whole West Point campus to see that, you know, it's just so prestigious when I see just on TV, you know, or meet someone from West Point, or see the West Point weddings and the graduations, just everything about West Point's pretty cool. So
it's stunning. And we actually weren't supposed to move there. But they were going to deploy, well, they did deploy our dad to Iraq, and it was at the height of the war in 2007. And so they kind of knew there was a chance that he might not come home. And so in the event that he was killed, he wanted us to be near family. And our mom is from about an hour away from West Point. So he fought for us to get that duty station, so that way we could live on base, be surrounded by the military, but also be only an hour away from home, just in case something were to happen. And nothing did, thankfully. But that was the reasoning. We weren't supposed to go there, and it was very unlikely for us to go there, but it worked out.
But imagine that stress on your parents. Like, your dad's having to think about the stuff like, what if, like, what if I die? And to have that responsibility on his shoulders to be prepared and to prepare his family before he goes off, you know, a true American hero. And, so let's go into talking about that. Like, we talk about the challenges of living with a father or a mother or a family member with PTSD. And, you know, you just said your dad went at the height of the war, 2007. So that was the first, Desert Storm.
Yes.
And that, you know, I mean, that's, I'm going to put your dad kind of close to my age or our age group, you know what I mean? So he was a young guy when he went. And, yes. Can you tell us a little more about your dad?
Yeah. Julia, do you want to talk first this time? I feel like I'm Let's let Julia share.
You remember a lot more than me. Like, well, for like the basic history, I think Kayla remembers a lot more, and I'm good at like filling in detail.
Well, how about this, Julia? Tell us what you remember as a brat about your father, like from your perspective.
Yeah, I definitely just enjoyed the job he had. I loved, you know, moving around and being on base. I loved West Point. It was just amazing there. We had a lot of, that was the first time I had freedom as a kid, was like going around base and hanging out with my friends. I just enjoyed like the amount of freedom he gave us. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I concur. I think that one of the things being a military brat on a base is the freedom. Mm-hmm. I mean, our parents, you could still just kind of let your kid loose and, you know, you come back when it's just time to come back. You just kind of knew, you know.
Come back when the streetlights turn on.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's so cool, because that's something that Lisa and I got to experience. And it's just nice to hear it from y'all, you know, who are much younger than us, that you still got to experience that, because that's not very common, especially with people your age, you know, that got to experience that. Let's, if it's okay, I would like to get into maybe, you've introduced us to your dad. Thank you very much. And living with a parent struggling with PTSD, I'm sure is incredibly tough. If you could just, talk about your experience with that, and then, just take us through,
well, how it led you to get to working with fallen patriots, and then we'll just go into talking about that. So
exactly.
So to give a little background on my dad, well, one, I realized I didn't introduce him, but his name was Lieutenant Colonel Tom Hawes. I still have my birth dad last name, but me and Julia are full sisters. But he passed away when he was 46 years old, to a sudden heart attack that was ruled service connected and in line of duty. Essentially, they think he had some sort of heart defect that kind of went undiagnosed by the Army. That paired with just the wear and tear of serving for 24 years, the stress of the job at being at U.S. Army South and being ahead of so many soldiers, they think just kind of took its toll, which I'm sure having PTSD and things like that didn't help. He was definitely, while I love him and miss him, he was a very challenging individual. He was incredibly strict, incredibly aggressive, and kind of a hothead. Definitely had our best interests at heart always, and really wanted us to move forward and succeed. But he was a challenging personality, and he died when I was 19, which when you're in your teens, all you do is fight. So I fought with him a lot, but
yeah.
Kind of how I've mended those fights in that relationship was, when I went off to college, I connected with some other Gold Star organizations, actually looking for help for Gold Star kids at my campus at the University of Alabama. I worked for the VA there and just kind of found a love for serving veterans and found out about my job, Fallen Patriots, reached out to them. They offered to help with all of my college expenses that weren't already covered by the VA, and they helped me with the rest of my time there. And met the CEOs at like a career networking event in New York City that they sent me to, and with a bunch of their partners on Wall Street, which was incredibly cool. And it just became my dream job after that. So I got my master's in nonprofit studies, and now I work full time on their development team, where I focus in fundraising, more so on their gala side. So I help lead the three galas that we have every year, which is so much fun, but it's very impactful it's very cool kind of getting to work behind the scenes to help other kids. And Seth and Julia currently receive funding from them. So it's really cool when I'm at the events and I see someone donate money and know that it could go to my siblings is a really cool feeling. So it's been a dream job. I love it. I've been with them for almost 2.5 years and I have no plans of leaving anytime soon. So that's been really special.
One thing I love about you guys is that I can tell that you're as sisters, you're close. You're protective. I can tell, Kayla, you know, just talking with you, you remind me of my older sister, Rose. And even though our personalities are opposite, even though I'm the extrovert and Rose is the introvert, I always feel protected by my older sister. And I think it's that military upbringing of just when we were on military bases and our parents weren't home, you know, they were gone. We were those latchkey kids where, you know, Rose carried our house key around her neck. And it really sucked when you forgot the house key, though, huh? And we had to sit outside and wait for mom and dad to get home. That's happened more than once. We've talked about that in past episodes. But but no, I just love that you... one thing about being a military brat is, maybe this is not all military brats, but I can speak for myself. I feel like the military life brought my family closer and brings us closer. And to this day, even at our age, we still have triggers and talk about, you know, crazy things. And so, yeah, I'm really happy to have you both on here today.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I hope Julia can say that, but I'm not going to lie. I was a bully to her growing up, and she knows that. And she's staying quiet to be polite. No. But I love her very much. I love Seth and Julia both very much. We fight a lot, but I would murder somebody for them. I don't know if you have to
yeah.
say that.
Oh, yeah, there's a baby brother.
Yeah, I always tell people we fight hard, but we love hard, yes. too. You know?
But what were you going to say, Julia?
Oh, I was saying I made Lisa aware that Kayla was going to do most of the talking and that I'm totally fine with that. So this is what I expected.
That is me too. I mean, I'm totally like that. As you can see, that Lisa is usually the lead.
Well, my background, Kayla, you know, it was like you said, director development, you do development and my background was development. So yeah, you have to shake a lot of hands, talk to a lot of people and all that. So
exactly. Anyway. It helps with my job a lot.
Yeah.
So now that y'all have touched on your experiences, do you have any advice you would give, I guess, to other military kids who are going through similar struggles?
My biggest piece of advice, and I only give this because it's worked for me, is when our dad passed away, we had bought a house in Texas and we lived kind of far from the base. And so we were kind of separated from the military lifestyle by that point. And what has kind of helped me moving forward is finding connections within the military space. So working in a military career field, but also really connecting with other children that have the same upbringing as me, because they might understand why I respond to certain situations a certain way. They're going to understand how maybe I feel about different news events, things like that. And so really kind of focusing on finding a group of those people with those similarities, because it's kind of an immediate friendship. I mean, every Gold Star kid that I meet, we're instant best friends. And it's because you have
that
unspoken bond. Oh yeah. All of us are on staff. So 50% of our staff is Gold Star kids. And I've known them all for like 7 years. So.
And you're in DC, right?
I'm in Arlington, technically.
Arlington. Well, guess what? We're going to be there in just a couple of weeks.
Oh, no way. Let me know when you're in town.
DC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to be catching the first game. We're really happy. We're going to go out there and meet up with the Stars and Stripes newspaper and catch a Nationals versus Dodgers game. And we're going to have a good time. But I have another question. So we always talk about military brats, you know, the fun stories, and then there's the challenges, this and that, right? What do you each miss the most about your childhood as a military brat? What was let me rephrase that. What's the most memorable experience, something that's so unique and fun that y'all did that you feel you only did because you were a military brat?
I'll let Julia answer that one.
Okay. Well, I figure you'll each have your own answers, yeah, right? So go ahead, Julia. You go first.
I think I kind of already touched on that, just being able to wander the base freely, hanging out with my friends. And feel
so
safe.
Living in Japan was your most exciting time.
Living on a base in Japan, point, I think as well.
Oh, West Point.
I missed that a lot when we moved to San Antonio. very different experience in school for me. Dealing with being off base, that was very hard adjustment. But definitely, like, my advice to the kids also would be to take advantage of every opportunity you're given. Try all the sports there. Try everything. That was like a great privilege as well, was being able to, you know, Kayla can speak on that too. We tried every single sport and extracurricular activity because it was free, you know, dance. We did golf, softball.
So it's a Dodd school on West Point. Y'all went to a Dodd school.
Yes.
It's a military school. Okay. Cause you know how some military kids are stateside brats and they go to public school still off, you know?
Yeah. No.
So that's why I was kind of thrown off when you said on base. To me, when you say on base to me, I think overseas. And so that's, see, the different perspectives that we all have.
We lived on base at West Point. And again, that was largely because of the strings my dad pulled to that way. Because technically, even when they assigned us there, they wouldn't let us on base because he didn't have orders to the base. He had orders to Iraq. And we were supposed to live off base in Connecticut, and he fought for us to get put
on
the wait list. And so we ended up living on base. They had a DOD elementary and middle school. I went to the middle school and Seth and Julia went to both.
Okay.
And then the high school was off base. So like I did first 2 years of high school there, and it was very different.
So what was your most memorable? What can you think of that stands out in your memories?
I think, again, West Point was also my favorite. We still had early curfews and stuff like that, but it was cool being able to kind of march around campus and play on all these like historical grounds and like monuments, and it was encouraged. And then you could just go watch the cadets play sports. We could go watch football, rugby, lacrosse, hockey, and you could just walk in. And our dad also got free tickets to most of it because he ran security. So that was nice. But I would say one of the most special memories, and I still talk about this, was when our dad was in Iraq, my mom or our mom entered us to win Jonas Brothers tickets. And
I told her about this the other day. Yeah,
I was just talking about it at work, but we got selected, and it happened to be when our dad was back for like a week from Iraq. So he was able to take us. And so we had to meet at like a Burger King in New York City. It was hosted by Burger King. And we got like free tickets, the concert. We were like on the news, and then we got free meet and greet passes. So I got to meet the Jonas Brothers. So we have like a photo of all of us.
No, Lisa has the photo.
I'm going to post it. I will share it. Definitely. We'll let our listeners take a look at that picture. Yeah. When I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, they're with the Jonas Brothers.
I spent so many hours picking out that specific Hollister shirt. Like Nick Jonas was going to notice me. I remember being so panicked. I think I shaved my legs so quick because just in case I met him. Well, I mean, I did meet him, but in case he fell in love with me. But yeah, it's funny seeing somebody like my dad, who is so like aggressive and manly, like standing next to the Jonas Brothers. You could just tell that that was not his environment. And my mom probably had to beg him to take us because there's no way he would have agreed to that on his own.
Oh my gosh.
But that was probably one of my favorite memories, where we got to pull the whole military kid string and got something cool out of it.
Well, you know what, you guys, I love just getting to know y'all so much on a personal basis, but guess what it's time for right now? It's time for the lightning round. You ready?
This is my favorite part of our interview. So this is just a bunch of rapid fire questions. Just say whatever comes to your mind, first thing that comes off your head. If you get stumped, you can always say pass. So I don't want this to be any like anxiety. Some guests get anxiety from this. And I was like, what? It's not meant. I'm meant to do that. So anyway, I'll ask a question and y'all just chime in first, whoever wants to go first, and then the other one can just answer, okay?
Well, just so the audience, since they can't see, we're going to go with Kayla answering first, and then Julia.
Yeah, let's do that then. So Kayla, you want to go first, and then Julia, you can answer after?
Yes.
Okay, so question number one, what is the best pasta shape and sauce?
Oh, cavatappi, pesto.
Julia?
I think bow tie, because it like has crevices that holds all the sauce, and pesto as well.
Awesome. Okay.
Would you rather meet your great-great-grandparents or your great-great-grandchildren?
My great-great-grandparents.
Yeah, Julia? I agree with that as well.
Okay. Next question. What is the last movie you watched in a theater?
Probably the newest Jurassic Park, Jurassic World.
Okay.
I saw Anora last.
Okay, awesome. Would you rather live in a treehouse in the forest or a tiny home on the beach?
Tiny home.
Yeah, a tiny home as well.
Cool. What are you eating for your last meal, including a drink?
Crab legs with a Diet Coke.
I would think maybe sushi, a nice latte.
Okay.
And a beer. If you could,
that sounds good. So if you could wake up speaking any language fluently, what would it be?
Japanese.
Yeah, I agree with Japanese as well.
Okay. If you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be?
General MacArthur.
Nice. I'm
obsessed with him.
Sorry to be emotional, but probably my dad. Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. What is one place you'd like to visit that you have never visited?
Ooh, New Zealand.
China.
Oh, good choices on both.
That's a good one. What is your favorite board game?
I actually hate board games.
Okay.
None.
Maybe say a card game.
I don't like card games either. They stress me out.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Julia, what about you, Julia?
I'm going to have to pass. I don't know. They're all good. It depends on who I'm playing with.
That's a good way to answer that.
Yeah. And our final question, window or aisle seat?
Window.
Aisle seat.
Ooh, y'all got through the lightning round. You know what's interesting is, as sisters, y'all had very similar answers in the very last one or the last two. Like, I feel like Julia is one, like you just said, and this is the way for our audience to get to know y'all, right, on a personal basis. And the fact that you don't like board games, but Julia, you like board games, or depending on who the company is with, you know. But y'all answered the last one differently too, window and aisle. So you see, you guys are a little bit different, but you're mostly the same in all the other answers.
Yeah, now we won't remember what plane seat.
I knew that I was going to be interviewing sisters today, so I actually asked Lisa all these lightning round questions.
She did.
Before asking them to,
I stuttered.
I was curious about what her answers would be, and we were very different as well.
The thing is that
I don't like board games either.
I love board games.
I know.
I hate them. I would rather play sports or something.
You know what's fun?
We do it.
You can't. So you know what game I picked, you guys? I picked Sorry. Mm-hmm. I just love Sorry.
And I knew she was going to pick that game.
You did. I know, because that's a game our father played with us all our lives growing up. Like, my dad was into board games, and so that was us growing up. And then as far as window or aisle, Rose picks window and I pick aisle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get horrible flight anxiety, and I will
me too.
Borderline faint if I don't have a window seat.
If I'm by the window, I feel claustrophobic.
Really?
I have to be more in the aisle, so I don't have to keep saying, excuse me, if I have to get up and stretch my legs or just take a breather, you know?
No,
I'm not one of those weirdos. And you guys, whoever's listening, I'm not one of those weirdos on an airplane, like, you know, hyperventilating or anything weird. But,
it's okay.
I just called you a weirdo.
That's okay.
We only have so much time left, but can we go back to talking about Fallen Patriots? Because I read up on y'all's history of your company, and is it a husband and wife who do it together, or who started it, the found?
Yes, David and Cynthia Kim. So David was a West Point graduate, and when he was serving in Panama during Operation Just Cause, they lost a man in his unit named Sergeant Delaney Gibbs, and he died a few days before Christmas, and his, I can't remember if it was a wife or girlfriend, fiance, significant other was pregnant with their unborn child at the time of passing. And so David got out of the army. He went to Harvard, was very successful in the private equity realm, in New York City and basically pledged to himself that if he ever had the means, he wanted to help send that little girl to college and as many
people as
he could. And so he used all of his strings for good. And now we've given over $72 million in scholarships to military
children. That's beautiful.
Who lost a parent.
Wow.
And so, Julia, you said you're a recipient of this scholarship?
Yes.
And so you'll be graduating here from college here soon. And so I guess one of the last questions we'd like to ask you guys is, where do you guys see yourselves in the future? Like, what do y'all see yourselves doing in the next few years based on your experiences growing up and, you know, your influences and all that? Where do you see yourself, Julia? And then we'll go, Kayla.
Definitely want to pursue my master's degree in counseling. I'm pretty certain I want to become a school counselor. That kind of has to do with being a military brat. I went to my school counselors a lot as a kid, especially at West Point, because our dad was deployed twice while we lived there. And so, like, those positive experiences, like, kind of led me to want to go down that path. But I'm also not, like, certain my career path yet, but
something. You're young. You'll figure it out. But yeah. Congratulations on you graduating soon. Thank I know you. That's coming up. So we wish you luck in everything you do. What about you, Kayla?
I have been with Fallen Patriots for about 2.5 years. And as of right now, I would love if this is my forever job. So I don't really have plans to leave, just to hopefully continue to move up and keep making a difference and doing what I do here. And I'm poached a lot and I never want to leave. So hopefully the Kims are listening to this.
Well, is your organization nationwide or is it just in that area?
Like, so we actually have all remote. We have a office here that we use to mail and receive checks like for scholarships. But no, we serve children all over the United States. We pay for study abroad. We have children at Oxford University. Wherever they can get into and want to go to, we'll pay for it. So,
wow. Well, we will definitely push Fallen Patriots on our website. And of course, when we're promoting y'all's episode, which I'm so excited to release.
And if you ever come across any kids that lost their parent, either in the line of duty or service-connected causes, feel free to share my information with them and we can get them registered. And if they've already gone through college and have student loan debt, that's something that we also look at. So I'd love to help.
Now, do they have to have gone to college, or what about children who decide like to go to trade school, or they decide not to go to college and they want to open up their own business? Do they have resources through your organization as well?
Yeah. So we cover anything that's a first degree. So whether it's associates or bachelor's, mm-hmm. we'll cover mm-hmm. trade mm-hmm. school, cosmetology school. We've also had some students who opted to not do schooling, but instead become a mechanic, and mm-hmm. we pay for all of those startup tools.
I love that.
Okay, great.
Yes, it's pretty much anything after high school that can kind of help set them up. And if we can't, if they decide there's nothing else they want to do, we will also just pay for a laptop.
Wow.
So say they decide they want to join the military.
Yeah.
And don't want to go to college. We will pay for a laptop for them to take with them as they join the military. So our goal is to touch all about 25,000 kids that we estimate are out there. So
since we're closing out, why don't you tell us, Kayla, how everybody can get in touch with you? Give us, you know, the contact information. How can they start by giving that information, please?
Yeah. So our website is www.fallenpatriots.org. My personal email is kayla@fallenpatriots.org. And we can be found on Instagram at Fallen Patriots.
Nice. Awesome. Thank you. All right, Rose. This is the part we don't really like.
Well, as military brats, we don't ever say goodbye. Hoping that our paths will cross later. So we always say, see you later. So I'll go ahead and say, see you later.
See you later.
See you later. As I say always, another great interview. Julia was a little shy, wasn't she? Wow.
Yeah, wow. She was.
No, she reminds me of you. You're like, because we're behind a mic and all, people don't understand, like, introverts are introverted for a reason, you know.
But like we said, I don't really think I'm introverted more so. I think I'm more shy. Because yeah. once I do get to know you, or if I'm comfortable That's in true. A situation, I'm certainly not introverted.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoy talking to those sisters. And they're so cute because their lightning round, their answers were similar. But then at the very end, they had that little bit of opposite of them. One picked aisle, one picked window. Like you and me. But anyway, you guys, if you miss our episodes or want to catch our new episode or want to catch some past episodes, visit our website at www.punkbrats.com. All right. So anything else that we need to hit upon?
No, not really. Do you want to go ahead and plug the phone number so we can have people call in?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Again, don't when the podcast is done, don't hang up so quickly because it's always followed up by a caller. So our phone number is 512-254-5989. All calls are recorded. Record up to a 2-minute message. If you mess up, just hang up and call back and try again. Visit us on social media, you guys. Facebook, we're at Punk Brats there, and Instagram, we're Punk Brats USA. That's it, Rose.
All right, Lisa. I guess this is the part where I say see you later.
I'll see you later.
Hello, my name is Ellie, and I'm from Texas. My favorite part about being a military kid is I get to travel with my mom.